Welcome everybody to
that was the intro.
I am your host Daniel, and this is my other host Carson.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We are best buds.
This is like the 18th time we've done this intro. Yeah, we watched we watched Little Shop of Horrors.
Horrors,
guys. I can't say
Little
that
Shop
word.
Of Horrors.
It's my favorite genre, yeah. And I say a different word instead. Horror. Horror. Is that right? Did I say it right?
Yeah, it sounded funny.
All right. You want to read the log line for this one?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about log lines. Guys, if you haven't yet, go back to our other podcast. We are doing a Halloween special, 31 Days Marathon, and we're having fun with it. So if you feel so obliged, go back to our other podcasts, give them a listen, give them a share, and keep up with us, because we are doing this for 31 days. It's going to be a lot. Here we go for the log line of Little Shop of Horrors.
Shut up, man. Just read it.
I'm sorry. Okay. A nerdy florist finds his chance for success and romance with the help of a giant man-eating plant who demands to be fed.
Is that it? Is that the whole log line?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's more.
Is this how you met Rebecca, right?
Actually, this movie is based off of mine and Rebecca's love story.
It's pretty similar. So have you seen this before, or was this a first watch for you?
I have heard of Suddenly Seymour so many times.
Okay.
To when I actually found out where it came from.
Were you shocked?
I was already so... Well, I mean, yeah, a little shocked. I was like, oh, that's it. But then I was so annoyed by Suddenly Seymour because it's in everything. Like, it's quoted by everything.
Well, it's iconic,
in Family
man.
Guy a lot. Yeah, and I will say I hated that part of the movie.
Okay.
But
that's understandable.
The rest of the movie, I was actually... I really enjoyed it. Like, I had fun. This was a good movie to watch. I mean, it's a good 80s movie. I'm kind of sick of 80s, mainly because right now, I think in the industry, everybody's going to 80s genres.
Yeah, like, everyone's everything. Referencing the 80s, but it's not the same as the 80s.
But, like, there's so many shows that are going to the 80s. Like, what, Stranger Things is in the 80s
yeah,
right
totally.
Now. That's kind of hot. Like, the Call of Duty game that just came out. What is not Vanguard, but the...
Call of Duty
the
in
Cold
the 80s?
War
is that
one,
what
that
it
was,
is? Really?
Yeah, Call of Duty Cold War was set in the 80s. Yeah, I mean, well, duh. And I don't know. It was just like there's so much 80s themed stuff to where I'm obnoxious.
It's because
like,
everybody from that time period is old enough to make stuff now.
Yeah.
So when we're like able to finally make something, our nostalgia is going to be
It'll
like
be
early 2000s.
Stuff.
That's going to suck.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie was fun. I liked it. When you said it was a musical, I was like, oh, no. But just about every song
is
I really enjoyed. It was like a, yeah, it's really, besides Suddenly Seymour, it was really
little
good.
Shop.
I mean, but,
little shop. I don't, will we get copyrighted for that?
Yeah, we might. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, the soundtrack is really good.
Yeah.
All the performances, I think, are fun. I love Rick Moranis, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's iconic. Yeah. He's a big part of my childhood, at least.
Spaceballs,
Honey, yeah. I Shrunk the Kids.
Yep.
All kinds of
He's
stuff.
He's in a lot of things.
He's a legend.
And then you got Steve Martin.
Of course.
He plays a good role in this. And Bill Murray, which, in fact, this is the only film where the two iconic legend comedians play a role in the same film.
Isn't that crazy? Like, I could imagine them doing more together, but
Didn't happen.
And I honestly forgot Bill Murray was in this when I rewatched it. Oh, John Candy's in this too, bro.
Yeah, rest in peace, John Candy. But I thought he was gonna have a bigger role in this.
It's like a bit part,
relatively. Yeah,
but still cool. I mean, you have several legends in this movie.
Jim Belushi as well.
Who's that?
Jim Belushi.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. No, I was going to say the director, you also all should know, Frank Oz. He worked at the Jim Henson Company for a long time. They were good friends. So he's voiced a lot of Muppets that you know, including Yoda. So he's done a lot of voice work and a lot of puppet work and a little bit of directing. Not much, but I mean, I guess that's why the puppet for the plant is so cool in this movie. Is because of him. I mean, he had to have a hand in that for sure.
But yeah.
A lot of legends.
Yeah, so pretty much just like the logline said, this movie is about kind of this nerdy guy who you know, he wants the world, but he doesn't know how to get it. He makes this discovery of this plant, and he buys it, and all of a sudden, like, things start popping off for him. He becomes famous because everybody wants to know where he got the plant. It starts to grow, but then he finds out how it needs to grow, which was blood at first. It starts to grow from human blood.
Like all plants.
And then, exactly. and then from there, things just kind of go awry. He does get the girl that he wants, but at a sacrifice of killing Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yes. Well, Steve Martin's kind of like I guess you could say he's a jerk, right?
Yeah. Steve Martin's character was weird. It was funny, but it was weird. It was like he was Elvis, but then also at the same time, like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
And but a then dentist. Also like the Joker as well. Yeah.
And he's addicted weird. What's the laughing gas stuff? He like will put it in his mouth and make himself like cackle. Yeah. This movie, lots of cool stuff happens. I think, honestly, there's a lot of physical comedy in it. I think that works really well, especially like with like Seymour. Some of the like nerdy attributes, he sells the nerd really well. Like he feels like this actual nerd who can't be around girls. He doesn't understand how to do it. And then you have this macho plant that's like influencing him. Okay, guys, we're not going to explain the whole plot here. I just think it's better if you just watch it because it's one of those movies.
This movie is more of an experience.
Yeah, it's not plot heavy. I mean, there is character growth and stuff like that, but it's more about the music and just kind of seeing how off the wall they can get because the jokes and everything just build on each other and it does get really weird, but that's what makes it fun and enjoyable is the weirdness of it all.
Yeah, it honestly, you can just see the simplicity of it too, of like the desperation of how this guy wants to be very, very liked and popular and loved by his female interest, and you can see where that drives him to. Honestly, though, I thought what was more interesting was like as I was watching this, I was coming up with so many like reflections of other movies that I have seen that I don't know if they took like a little piece from it or if they kind of like got influence from this movie, but like for instance, I would say that in this movie, do you know Ben Platt?
Yeah, I know Ben Platt.
Yeah, so he kind of has this like same Rick Moranis.
Yeah,
Moranis. Rick kind of feel of him like Moranis. He kind of has this like feel of like being this nerdy guy, but also being like you know desperate to be like in Pitch Perfect, also in Dear Evan Hansen. Like it kind of has that feel to me.
I think you're right. I mean,
feel for me.
He kind of plays this character in a lot of films, but he's such a likable person in real life too, that it makes any character he plays this almost infectious personality that you root for them instantly. Like you're just rooting for him.
And I think a lot of people have gotten that kind of inspiration from his personality, but also character type.
Yeah, he's like sweet and bumbling at the same time. He's not like, I don't know. He's like the nice guy. He's kind of smart, kind of dumb, all at once. He kind of has all these mixture of attributes that you just love.
Also, tell me how this movie is not Venom.
Is not Venom?
I mean, literally the story of Venom.
This is if they don't do Venom 3 as a musical, I'll be very upset because I honestly see that now that you say that. That's hilarious.
Like, right? I mean, he's just controlled by wanting to keep his popularity by.
See, I was. Yeah, you're right. Weird,
and
that'd
also,
be a weird double
it is
feature.
Larry Boy and the Rumor Weed.
Yeah, I think that's what Larry Boy and the Rumor Weed is referencing, right?
Really? You think so?
I'm almost certain.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it looks exactly like it.
I was going to say, this kind of reminds me of the original Frankenstein, as if it's doing a riff off that kind of story. Not that I guess he does technically create the plant, but kind of like losing control of your creation. And it helps you in some ways, but eventually it all falls apart.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. Or that's really good.
I say go watch it, guys. This is on HBO Max for sure.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max. It's really enjoyable, honestly. If you have like a good like sound setup in your house for this movie.
It captures the city really well. Mm-hmm. Like the city feels alive. Like every street you feel like there's going to be a new interesting character. You never know when a song's going to bust out. They have all these interesting sides. It feels like a real world. And I could see how it used to be a play, how it was set up that way. Because technically this movie is a remake of a older movie that I have not seen. But then they made a Broadway musical out of that movie. And then this is based on the Broadway musical. And now I guess there's going to be a remake of this movie that's based on the Broadway musical of an original movie.
Good Lord.
So
yeah,
let's keep it going, guys.
Fun fact, this movie was actually Warner Brothers' most expensive film at the time. It was $25 million.
That's amazing. Got to be the puppets, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. And then like the set time that they needed on the actual back lot and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's a big set for sure.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, there's big name art, big name actors. There's really great music in it, great singers too. The only person that I did hate so much is Ellen Green, who plays Audrey. Her voice is so ditzy and obnoxious that I could not handle it.
Oh, the main love interest?
Don't we think that? Yeah, she was.
She's kind of a weak character too.
Please shut up.
To be honest.
Yeah, she is.
I would say her character, as far as the pantheon of great female characters, she's not in that list.
Of course.
She's not a strong female character.
I mean, she's a really great singer. She has a strong voice in the movie.
Amazing voice.
She's not great in acting.
All the vocals in this are outstanding.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie's great. I loved it. Besides Suddenly Seymour and Ellen Green, I really enjoyed this movie for being an 80s movie. Carson and I have this kind of huge thing of where I can't, it's hard for me to watch older movies.
Daniel's not a
I
big
just lose interest.
Older movie guy. I actually think I prefer them more. I'm a big fan of practical effects, though. And I know you tend to actually like practical effects if it's done well. And I thought you would like that aspect of this.
Yeah, I do. I do lean more towards practical effects. I mean, that's why Top Gun did so well. And that's why
I
love it so much, is because of the amazing practical effects in that. But then I think that's where I start to get lost, where you like sci-fi movies a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, some of the CGI, if the CGI is bad,
I will not enjoy it. Yeah, you can't. I have really good suspension of disbelief. Like, it's almost a problem.
Yeah, I don't.
But I could put myself in the world of any movie and be like, yeah, this is reasonable. Like, this could happen. If you have a chance to watch it, you could probably watch this with... I can't say you can watch with the whole family. There is a little bit of innuendo, I would say. Mm. But if you have mature kids, they would probably still enjoy it. And it is funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of cleavage from Ellen Green in this.
Yeah, there's a little bit of... kind of what you would expect from the 80s. To be honest, the 80s had different standards than we do. But give it a watch. It's fun. If you could, honestly, if this was going to end up on the big screen again at some point, I would be so excited to watch it on the big screen, especially with a crowd that knows and likes this movie. So I'm going to keep an eye out here in LA to see if someone will do that. But
yeah, well, out here in New York, I mean, that I'll do the same. Anyway, okay, guys, well, that is Little Shop of Horrors. We appreciate you all so much. We just kind of kickstarted this podcast, and we're having fun with it. We hope you guys are enjoying it as well. Go ahead, like, subscribe, follow. I don't know if we're actually subscribing. Like, follow, share our content, guys, if you're really enjoying it, so we can get the word out there, so we can kind of grow our audience, because we really want to kind of grow a community of movie watchers and movie stans like us. And, guys, watch movies. We're having a great time.
That's a clean slate.